The letter that we're studying is the letter to the Hebrews toward the back of the Bible, the 13th chapter. And I want to read verse 7 and verses 17 to 19. And these particular verses really are not addressed very much in churches, because we take the approach or the philosophy that we preach through a book and we don't skip anything naturally. Here we are. We come to it and we address it. I don't really skip around, just kind of preaching whatever I want to preach. I preach the next passage, the next thing that's in the book that we're studying. And here's the next thing. Verse 7. This author says, remember your leaders. Specifically, remember your leaders who taught you the Word of God. Think of all the good that has come from their lives and follow the example of their faith. And then verse 17, obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit. Pray for us, for our conscience is clear, and we want to live honorably in everything we do. And especially pray that I would be able to come back to you soon. Lord, I ask that you would help us to see and understand this portion of your word today, and how strategic and significant it is in the effectiveness and the efficiency in which a congregation operates and joins you in the Great Commission. Our vision here at Trinity, Vision 2020, Lord, you know it, to see undecided people become fully devoted followers of Jesus. Help us with this vision to be passionate about it. I pray in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen. Now, as much as I took time to introduce you to current leaders, the first instruction that comes in this passage of scriptures is to remember leaders of the past. Remember leaders who have gone on to be with Christ. They have since died, but you remember them. You remember them fondly. I'm sure that every one of you can look back, you know, in the history of your life and look at a spiritual leader, a Sunday school teacher, a pastor, someone who was a mentor, who taught you the Word of God, and you have a fondness for them because they helped you set a foundation for your life. Because of them, your life was set on a new and significant and healthy trajectory. And so we're told, remember the leaders of the past, these people who taught you God's Word. I look at this church and its long-standing presence in this community. For the last 40 years or so, the Trinity congregation has worshipped on this property. But for, wow, about 60 years or more, 70 years, Trinity worshipped on Washington Street over where the railroad has now been resurrected, and you see that red brick building. I think it was visionary that Trinity would move and buy this property and begin to establish a new vision here. And there are many pastors that helped that process. I'll just mention a few. Will Martin. How many of you remember Will Martin? Some in this room remember what a great guy, what a great man of God he was, a great preacher. And Kevin Leibensberger. How many remember Kevin Leibensberger? More hands go up. Kevin was a great minister, a very intelligent person, a great preacher, administrator. And he, together with you, the congregation, led you through some significant times of growth and change and positioning for the harvest of souls. And so God blessed these men to lead you, and together you put their time together. It was almost 35 years. Ken Miller was the interim pastor between Kevin and myself, and he played a significant role. And so you remember these people, and I want you to think to yourself today, if you're looking at an outline, take and write the name of an individual who fits this qualification here. It's a person from the past that you remember with fondness, and you thank God for them. Write their names down. Hopefully you can think of more than one. Remember the leaders of the past. Consider how God has blessed the world through their leadership. But he's not just pricking a point of sentimentality in our hearts. What this author is doing is saying, listen, as you remember, follow the example of their faith. Think of their life, not just their teaching, but their life, and follow the example of their life. Follow the example of their faith. Their life serves as a visual of how you should live and how you should behave. That's one of the reasons why God brought them into your life. And so, as a pastor, I think I have a biblical responsibility to give you permission to talk about other pastors in a fond way and not be, you know, all concerned that you're thinking about another pastor and not about me. Okay? You need to remember these leaders with fondness and praise God for them. And so praise God for Will Martin. He's a good friend of mine. I love the guy, except when he beats me in golf. Kevin Leibensberger. You know, many of you or your parents or your brothers or sisters came to know Jesus because he was here preaching. And so it would be foolish for me to want to limit that in any way. No, we need to celebrate these men. You may be new here. Your experience in another church may have significantly impacted your spiritual life. And so I encourage you to remember these leaders. And I'm not just talking about pastors, Sunday school teachers, mentors. Praise God for them. Now, secondly, in verse 17, we're given an interesting instruction. This author says, obey your spiritual leaders. Yes, he says the O word. He says, obey your spiritual leaders, meaning your current spiritual leaders, meaning me, meaning members of leadership. Obey. That's a strong word. But it doesn't just quit there. It says, obey your spiritual leaders. Do what they say. It's kind of saying the same thing twice. And as I was writing this message, looking at the scripture, thinking of our modern culture and our tendency to be resistant to authority, I wrote the question, a one-word question I wrote right by that verse. And my one-word question was, really? Really? Are we going to say this in 2015 to you as a group of people? Obey me. Do God tells you to do what I say. You know, and then people were starting to wonder, you know, whoa, wait a minute. Is this some kind of a cult? You know, what is this place? I said, hold on. Don't run out yet. Pizza's not here yet. It will be in 15 minutes. Why is it saying to obey leaders? Why is it saying to do what they say? Well, very simply, just share this with you. The reason this is given to us is because biblical leaders should be teaching you the Word of God. The only reason you as a human being are commanded to obey a spiritual leader that is a human being, flawed and sinful just like you are, is because they're asking you to obey God's Word. That's the only reason you ought to obey and do what we say, because what we're sharing with you is the Bible, which you're called to obey anyhow. And so that's the authority, really, that is foundational in this instruction. Obey your spiritual leaders. Really? Yes, because their instruction comes from Scripture. And I believe that's true of this church currently and historically. You can go back to the very beginning of this congregation and find pastors and lay leaders who are constantly redirecting your vision, not away from themselves and to Scripture, And it's why I carry on the tradition of studying Bible passages, books of the Bible, verse by verse, paragraph by paragraph, and so that your attention is constantly fixed upon Scripture. One of my purposes in going through Hebrews is that as you come through this year, you're thoroughly familiar with this letter, and you're thoroughly familiar with the person and the work and identity of Jesus Christ and how that affects your identity. Okay? My identity doesn't have to shift with my intellect or my income level or my role in my position at work or my health or how other people feel about me. No, my identity can be anchored in the truth that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. And therefore, my identity issues never really have to be issues. But you see, if my identity is wrapped up in the fact that I'm cool, well, what's cool one day isn't cool the next day. If my identity is wrapped up in my health or my appearance or my profession, that could change within a week's time. And so it's important as we study the Scriptures that we understand who we are, what our life and faith is anchored in. And so we look to Scripture. Now here's what I find to be interesting. And I'm going to use this as an illustration because oftentimes we're resistant to this. We're resistant to obeying our spiritual leaders. We're resistant to doing what they say because we tend to not want anyone to tell us what to do. But I want to give you a warning about that. And I'll use this illustration. On Tuesday, this is what I read. Researchers from the American Cancer Society made a startling announcement this past Tuesday. And here's the announcement. After decades of decline, the average annual death rate in the United States has leveled off and is threatening to increase. Consequently, as Americans, our expected lifespan has plateaued, and the number is potentially beginning to become less. And that for the first time since researchers started tracking the statistic in the 1960s. So what's going on here? We're not evidently, the promise of us living longer no longer rests. It no longer is true. What's wrong? Well, an entire article simply explained this, what I'll put in a nutshell. What's wrong? We refuse to obey medical professionals as a society. As Americans, we refuse to listen to our doctors. Our doctors say, you have high cholesterol, quit eating fried chicken, and we just keep eating fried chicken. Our doctors say, root beer floats should not be something you indulge in every day, and we drink root beer floats every day. Our doctor says, you should get 4 to 5 episodes a week of exercise in which your heart rate goes up to a certain number, and we sit on the couch and play video games. And the article went on to say we are losing the war against obesity. And the truth is we're not even fighting. And so we have lost. What's going on here? We don't want anyone telling us what to eat or what not to eat. What to drink or what not to drink. We don't want anyone messing with us. And so doctors do what doctors do. Doctors give reports, they give evidence from blood work about what you should do, they tell you what to do, they take their money, and they go to the next person. Doesn't mean they no longer care, it just means they know typically what's going to happen. Now why am I saying all this? I'm saying all this because there is a spiritual reality here for Americans. We don't want preachers telling us what to do. And oftentimes preachers can develop the same kind of attitude. Well, here's the word. I'm giving the word. I'm giving the counsel. I can't live my life for them and just go on our way. But it's not so easy for doctors or for pastors because we care, because we have a heart, because it burdens us when people do not obey the word of God. Why? Because, as the scripture says, our work is to watch over your soul. That's our work, and it never ends. To watch over your soul, to care for your soul. Why? Because we stand accountable to God. Read those verses, friends. It's a dangerous thing to be a pastor. We have to live and work and serve in a certain way because ultimately we stand before God and give account for how we've spent our life in ministry. And so ultimately he says, be a fountain, not a drain. Be a fountain to your leaders, not a drain on them. And to quote it, he says, give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. What is it that sorrows a pastor? What is it that sorrows a spiritual leader, causes them to be sad? When people ignore the word of God, when people ignore the counsel of Scripture and just do what they please. Not so much so because they disrespected you by ignoring your counsel, but when they wander off and then suffer the consequences of disobedience. That hurts us as pastors. It burdens us. It's a heavy weight, a heavy responsibility. It's not so much about success or any trappings of growth or numbers or whatever as it is about the fact that people are under our care. And this is our calling, and many times the word as it's given to the best of our ability is just taken far too lightly. And so, be a fountain, not a drain. This benefits you greatly in the long run. It's not so much about making a pastor happy as it is about caring for your own soul and obeying the word of God and then being blessed because of it. Blessed because you have a ministry and an influence and witness in the world, and blessed because God's favor rests upon you when you obey Him and do what He asks. Now finally, he says this, simply pray. Pray for your spiritual leaders. It's your responsibility to pray for the staff members at Trinity. It's your responsibility to pray for your Sunday school teachers. Those of you who are in shift, your young adults, you should be thankful for the Wolfs, the Mancinis, the Millers, Pastor Dale, others who work hard to provide you with what I think is very meaningful opportunities at fellowship and spiritual instruction. And you should pray for them. Those of you that are in another Sunday school class, be grateful for the person who's teaching. Pray for Pastor Dale, for myself, for Jackie, for Colleen and Grant as they're relocating to Tennessee. Remember, it's your spiritual leaders and your staff of your church should be on your prayer list with some regularity. You should be offering them up to God and asking for God's blessing on them. Now, what do you pray about for these people? Very quickly, six things. I'm going to run through them and I'll explain them a little bit. Six things. Soul care, physical health, family life relationships, professional excellence, community involvement, and downtime or personal time, free time. Number one, soul care. Pray that your pastor, your spiritual leaders would read their Bibles and pursue a relationship, intimacy with God. Many times, pastors, spiritual caregivers neglect their own souls because they're spending all their time caring for other people, pouring out rather than taking time to soak in. Pray for pastors and spiritual caregivers that they would exercise soul care. Self-care, feeding their souls, feeding their relationship with Jesus. And that takes time, and it takes solitude, and it takes blocking out, carving out personal time for God. Secondly, physical health. Pray that your pastors, spiritual leaders, would care for themselves physically, have proper diet, proper exercise, just taking special care to consider their physical well-being because it affects their spiritual life and it affects their ability to do their job well. This week I read a statistic that I want to do a little more research on. It startled me that the divorce rate of pastors is 50%. Yeah, many of you just said, yeah, well, look it up. I'm not going to say I'm totally in agreement with that, but it's getting crazy out there. And there are some people in research who are suggesting it's the same as the national average. So you pray for pastors, spiritual leaders regarding their family life, their marriage, their parenting, and their relationships in general. If a person is a pastor, it doesn't mean their interpersonal skills are flawless or perfect. And you pray about these things and that there would be unity and not so much the absence of conflict, but the biblical way in which conflict is approached. Pray that there would be a sense of professional excellence. In other words, we're always striving to do our jobs better with more effectiveness, more efficiency, and so we're always seeking to be learners. Pray that we would have the appropriate level of community involvement. A lot of times pastors get so caught up in doing work inside the church that we forget the importance of being servants out in the community. It takes intentional effort to get connected in such a way, especially if you're like myself, I'm not from around here. And I'm not Dutch, sorry. But I desire to stay here, and so I desire to get connected and involved in some way. Finally, downtime. If you're going to pursue excellence, if you're going to have good relationships, good health, good soul care, you need to make the most of personal time. Time where you're kind of off the clock, time to take a walk, time to take a nap, time to take a vacation, time to do things just for no particular reason. Just because you need space, you need air, you need to breathe. All of these things are important, and I encourage you to pray for us, kind of using that as a prayer list. And to understand that, you know, as the leader goes, the church goes. And so the leader needs to take care of himself or herself to the level he or she does that. I believe there is health in a congregation. And so you pray over those things, and you recognize the significance of why these kind of verses are in this particular letter, because they're very important, they're very practical. And so, you know, it doesn't hurt to even call me out, or call Pastor Dale out, or a spiritual leader, and just say, hey, how are these six things? That would be fun, having you checking up, you know, hey, all right, when's the last time you had a root beer float? Huh? You know, that sort of thing. When's the last time you read your Bible? That didn't have to do with a sermon. I give you permission to say those kind of things. All right? Let's pray, and the band, you can come up.